On this episode of the Swallow Your Pride podcast, we have Ebony Green. She's the CEO and founder of SLP Business Suite, an innovative educational platform where she teaches speech-language pathologists how to grow their businesses to 6 and 7 figures. Ebony has more than a decade of public and private sector experience as a certified speech therapist who specializes in autism and bilingual speech support. She grew her own practice, the Speak Center for Language and Learning, to multiple 7 figures in just 5 years through multiple school contracts that support more than 700 students annually. Ebony has helped her clients secure contracts across the country, totaling in the millions. Esteemed industry organizations, including the American Speech Language Hearing Association and the National Black Speech Hearing Association, have tapped Ebony to present both virtually and in person for national conferences. She's the host of the SLP Business Podcast and has also been sought after in various media outlets, including the Speech Good Podcast, Telepractice Today, Speech Side Up, SLP Money, Bird Means Business, and Voyage Phoenix. A married mother of two, Ebony lives outside of Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome to the Swallow Your Pride podcast. I'm your host, Teresa Richard. I'm a board-certified specialist in swallowing and swallowing disorders, a mobile fees business owner, and founder of the MedSLP Collective. This podcast is all about delivering the latest evidence-based practice to medical SLPs everywhere. Whether you're a new clinician seeking tangible tools for treatment or a seasoned vet stuck in a rut, my goal is to help ditch the old-school ways of the past that no longer serve you or your patients, to reinvigorate your passion for our field, to broaden your knowledge about our scope of practice, and to inspire you to practice at the top of your license. So if you're listening, I encourage you to swallow your pride, be open and willing to learn, because let's face it, your patients deserve that kind of care. With that, let's dive right in. Just a quick disclaimer that all statements and opinions expressed in this episode do not reflect on the organizations associated with the speakers and are their own opinions solely. All right. Good afternoon, Ebony.
Hi, Teresa.
Thank you so much for joining me.
I am so excited to be here. I feel like this has been in the works, so I'm glad that we finally made it happen.
Yeah. So I'm so glad you joined. I feel like I have so much to say about you, so many wonderful things to say about you, and I'm excited to really have this conversation today because I feel like I interview so many people in all different aspects of speech pathology, medical speech pathology, and really, really rarely do we get into like the business behind speech pathology. And I think Ebony has so much to share from her perspective and her experience. And even though she's not, quote unquote, a medical SLP, anybody can learn from her. Anybody that wants to set up a successful private practice can learn from her, no matter what type of patient populations you treat. So yeah, tell the people a little bit about yourself, Ebony.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ebony Green. I'm a bilingual speech-language pathologist. I have a private practice in the Phoenix area. I've been practicing in the field for about 11 years. I started out as a speech-language pathology assistant, and then I decided to go back to school and get my master's degree. It was a long journey. I didn't have a background in speech. My background is actually in education. I, you know, embarked on that 8-year journey to become an SLP and have been very happy with the transition from teaching to speech language pathology. I have grown so much as an individual, as a professional, as someone who didn't really understand the importance of special education providers. You know, I was in education in the gen ed classroom, and what inspired me to go into speech was seeing some of the struggles of my students who had to go to special education intervention services, you know, and coming back and them feeling like they got to miss out on some of the stuff that their peers did in the classroom. And, you know, just seeing them struggle was what really inspired me to look into speech language pathology. And then I met with the SLP on campus, who was my mentor for many years. And she said, you know, you are kind of a unicorn because you're a Black SLP, you're a bilingual SLP, and we need more representation on both fronts. And so that is what inspired me to go back to school, start the journey. And here I am, however many years later, since I started that journey. And it's been incredible.
I always love reading, hearing everything that you have to say, because I think everything you do is so inspiring. And thank you for putting yourself out there and sharing. And I think, you know, obviously there's can be a double-edged sword with putting yourself out there and sharing so much, but you do it in such a beautiful, graceful way. So I always learn something from you. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. And I love to share my journey. You know, sometimes I feel like, am I oversharing? You know, I talk a lot about business. I talk a lot about what goes on behind the scenes of being a private practice owner, because the reality is that there's just not a lot of education out there. There's not a lot of resources out there from individuals who've been through that experience of starting their own private practice. I mean, there's a couple of people that I know about who are great at teaching and coaching. You know, Jenna Castro-Casbon, she's a good close friend of mine. And she's kind of one of the pioneers when it comes to education and courses and things like that for people who are interested in private practice. But there's just not a lot in comparison to other health professions when it comes to starting a private practice. And so that's really what inspires me to continue to share my journey. It has inspired me to start teaching and coaching and mentoring because I feel like, you know, we all can learn from each other when, you know, we just don't have as many peers to get that information from.
Yeah. So let's sort of go way back. What prompted you to start your own private practice?
So what prompted me was I had always wanted to be a business owner. I am just a natural leader. I started my own organization in college. I started my own mommy group after I had my first child. And so I have always been someone who likes to lead teams and build communities. And it's one of the reasons why I enjoy being a teacher, because I got to have my own little community and, you know, and lead these students. So entrepreneurship was always something that was in the back of my mind. But what really inspired me was I had a really good mentor who owned her own private practice, and just seeing how, you know, she was able to make such a big impact in our community. She was in a lot of the schools that needed speech services, but they didn't have full-time therapist. And so she started doing contract services with them. And then, you know, she started to expand by offering clinical services and just all these different things that she was doing to provide access to care in our small community. And so she was kind of the inspiration, seeing her run her business, seeing her be a mom, seeing, you know, how big of an impact she could make as a mom boss, so to speak. And I just felt really inspired to, you know, follow in her footsteps. In addition to that, I had a bad experience working at a school. It just kind of opened the door to me saying yes to myself and me betting on myself because of the experience of being overworked and underpaid and underappreciated and feeling like all of the things that I learned in graduate school about being a good clinician and, you know, the outcomes that we can create for our patients. I just wasn't able to experience that in a way that I thought I would working in a school setting. What I experienced was more of the administrative side of managing a caseload, you know, doing paperwork, attending meetings, being held to this high standard of making sure that paperwork was done so that the school was in compliance, but there were no standards when it came to the type of therapy that was being done. You know, the type of results that our students were receiving. And so that is what drove me towards starting my own practice so that I can focus on the things that I was good at and my gifts. And one of my gifts is building communities and building teams. My other gift is, you know, I'm someone who firmly believes in excellence across the board and the way that we do our therapy here. You know, we have very high standards for our therapists. And so I didn't experience that working at the school that I was working at, and I wanted to change that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one thing that, you know, I get so much of my inspiration as obviously from as a mother to my son, but it just parallels so much into my life with speech pathology. And I think, you know, what's so interesting is we do use some of the, there's two clinicians at his school that we do use, two therapists that we do use, but I also, you're allowed to bring in private practice clinicians too. Mm-hmm. And we do, I believe, bring in three other private practitioners, but the way that they hold themselves accountable and yes. The way that they, yeah, like you said, yeah. They just hold themselves to such a high standard. So I know that, you know, my son is getting the best treatment that I could possibly find. And, you know, I'm so grateful to them. And I say this, I'm so glad, like, I'm so grateful you started your own private practice so that I could find you, so that I could be able to, you know, bring you into my son's life, because he's just made such remarkable progress with these therapists that, right. You know, I'll always just be such a proponent for, if you have a specialty, if you have this on your heart, please go do this thing, because there's so many families that that need you. And on that note, Ebony, you know, I'd like to talk about sort of what, you know, what is your specialty? Like what differentiates you and your company from other private practitioners?
Well, as I mentioned, I am a bilingual speech language pathologist. So that is one of my primary specialties, is providing culturally responsive services to individuals, students, adults, even, you know, who come from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds. I have acquired this gift of bilingualism by being immersed in other cultures. And growing up, our family, we always had friends from everywhere. My mother is an immigrant. She's a first generation immigrant from Central America. So she came here to the United States not knowing anyone. And so naturally, you know, the communities that we became a part of were communities of other immigrants and other families from all over the world. And so my best friend growing up was from Colombia. Her grandmother, who I call my abuelita, she only spoke Spanish. And so I had to learn how to speak Spanish. And that's, you know, something that has stuck with me for my entire life. So it's been a huge blessing and a gift that I've continued to use throughout my career. I started teaching before I became a speech language pathologist, and I chose to teach Spanish speaking children. And so most of my instruction was in Spanish. I taught second grade and third grade, and it was 80% in Spanish. So learning how to teach, you know, math and reading in a different language, which was their home language, was incredible. And so that's one of my primary specialty areas, is treating those families who need a Spanish speaking provider. And so I started doing that as just, you know, a consultant for districts that didn't have access to a Spanish speaking therapist, but they needed to do an evaluation, or they needed to, you know, have a parent maybe attend a meeting and they didn't have a translator. I actually was doing the translation services as an SLPA. And I would attend meetings and, you know, interpret. And so that's specialty number one. My other specialty is working with children and adults who have autism. And so I have always worked in the schools, but on the side did home health and worked with kids and adults who needed, you know, support because of their autism diagnosis, and learned about AAC and all different, you know, ways to treat their needs. And so those are the two areas that I focus on when it comes to, you know, the patients that I see. As of right now, I don't really have a caseload that I maintain, but I do still do a ton of evaluations. This, you know, podcast is being recorded in the spring. And so right now my schedule is full of bilingual assessments to do for different school districts.
Talk about like the growth of your company. Talk about, you know, did it grow as fast as you thought it would? Did it take off before your eyes? I always love to hear these stories.
The growth was incredible, and it was much faster than I anticipated. I started my private practice pretty much right out of my CF. And it was a little bit daunting, you know, to take that step of, let me just jump into private practice, you know, as a new clinician. But I had years of experience in teaching. I had years of experience as an assistant. And so I felt confident enough, and I felt like I had enough of the basic skills to get me started. And I did, you know, I was able to succeed with getting clients. I was able to succeed with getting school contracts. But then, you know, there's the business component of it. And the business part of it is the hardest part, in my opinion, because we just don't have the skills and the training as clinicians. You know, some people do, but most of us who are more just clinician minded individuals, we don't have the business knowledge and the business savvy. So luckily for me, I have my spouse, my husband is someone who does have a background in business. And so I learned a lot from him. I was able to just get all of my ducks in a row, so to speak, when it came to the business side of things. And when that happened, that is when I just started to see the growth just take off exponentially. And so I was able to hire, I think in my first year, probably 20 to 25 therapists. And then I just continue to grow year after year. So 5 years in now, we've actually expanded the practice to more than just speech. We do OT, we do music therapy, we do feeding therapy. We also provide respite and habilitation services.
My gosh.
And so we do a little bit of everything. And that was always my vision, was to have kind of a one-stop shop for parents, to have that same one-stop shop for clinicians. Because, you know, when I was getting started in the field, I wanted to learn a little bit of everything. I didn't want to just be in the schools. I was always in the schools and doing home health, or in the schools and doing clinic. And so I wanted to create that experience for clinicians as well. because that is the beauty of being a speech language pathologist, is that you have so many options on what type of patients you treat, where you treat. There's just so many different options and possibilities. And I didn't have that as a teacher. You know, as a teacher, you generally work at a school and, you know, you see for the majority of the time, it's just that general ed population. And so it's nice that we have options as speech language pathologists. And I wanted to give options to the staff here and the students that we get, you know, they get to experience a little bit of everything as well. So the key to growth, I think, is just being open-minded, getting that education when it comes to the business side of it. If you don't really have that business background, getting that solid foundation, you know, reaching out to people, getting mentors, paying for courses, things like that, is what really got me ahead. And then just being open, you know, we were approached to do AAC evaluations at one point. I knew nothing about AAC, but I said yes, because I wanted to make as big of an impact as possible and also give that as an option to some of the clinicians that I would hire in the future that were passionate about AAC. We also, you know, were asked to see adult patients. You know, I have a background in pediatrics, but that was another opportunity for me to, you know, expand and to give an opportunity to a therapist to get experience working with adults. So having an open mind and getting that business foundation are the two things that I think will allow you to experience that exponential growth that I experienced.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. And I love hearing, you know, I think it's quote unquote common, you know, to add maybe OT or PT or music therapy, but talk to me a little bit about how you got into like adding respite.
So respite care is an opportunity for families really to have someone else come in, give them a break, so to speak. You know, caring for a child with special needs, I could imagine it's like a nonstop job. You know, there's always something that needs to be done. There's always needs that have to be met. And it's just one of those jobs where I've never cared for a child with special needs around the clock, but I could just imagine how much energy that takes, right? And how much of your time, you know, has to be managed based on the needs of your child. And so we want to provide the opportunity for someone to go in and give these moms and dads a break, allow you to be able to plan things and not have to worry about having care, having backup for your child. And so we started doing that in 2022. So it's been almost a couple years now. And we've seen tremendous growth in that area. These are, you know, services that lots of families need. And so we have a wait list right now, people waiting to get services. And we do a really good job of marketing this opportunity for people to work with children with special needs and families. We go into like universities, we talk to specific majors within universities. So usually like people who are interested in working with kids, of course, speech, OT, students who are, you know, in the process of going into their careers, but want to get kind of some experience beforehand. And then, you know, we just attend different opportunities within the community, because a lot of times people don't even know that these services exist and that they can qualify to get them for their child, or that, you know, this is a job that is available if you're looking for something flexible and you like working with kids and you really, you know, have a heart for children, you know, with autism or other special needs.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know we're just starting to explore respite services for my son because he qualifies for them. And it's just such a hard, it's so, I don't know, almost gut-wrenching as a mother, but also like you said, sometimes I just need the break, but
you need the break. You know, this is for your, not just for you, but this is for your child too, because in order for you to be fully present and to be the best caregiver that you can be, you need to fill your own cup as well, right? We can't pour from an empty cup. And so we encourage our families to use these services. A lot of them qualify for them, but they just, you know, haven't signed up to use them. And we say, you know, if you want to just try it out, and, you know, we do a meet and greet usually with the provider and the family first, just so they can kind of see if they mesh. And most of the time after the meet and greet, you know, they feel like, hey, I can work with this person. This person is going to be a good fit. And so if not, you know, we always come in and we try to accommodate needs. But it's definitely something that I think a lot of the moms and dads can benefit from, just so that they can recharge, you know, their own batteries and be there to be a better caregiver for their kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for explaining that. And I think that's the hardest part. I think, you know, for me is trying to find somebody or find a company that I feel has standards high enough to care for my son. You know, I know that sounds harsh, but
It's true. Like it's just, it's yeah. so hard to, yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, my son's qualified for these services, but we've just never taken advantage of them. And I'm finally willing to like explore what could possibly be out there. So talk to me about how did you get into that? Was that like, were you just hearing from families within your, you know, within your company that this was a need, or, you know, how did you go about, you know, like Googling how to become a, you know, yeah. respite therapy provider?
Initially, you know, I created the company as just a therapy company. So the name of my business when I first started, it was CASA Speech Therapy, because it was just going to be speech therapy, right? And then we did a little rebrand in 2021. And then I called it CASA Speech and Development Services, because then we started doing occupational therapy and music therapy and feeding therapy. I rebranded again in 2023. And that was kind of the major rebrand, right? We changed our name, we changed our logo. And the reason why was because CASA is actually the name of another big nationally well-known nonprofit. And it's in a different industry, but people were getting us confused with them. And so we changed it to the Speak Center for Language and Learning. And Speak actually stands for supporting parents and empowering all kids. And so when I think about supporting parents,
yeah.
Right. When we think about the support that's needed, respite and habilitation and attendant care are all a part of that support, right? That they fall under that umbrella. And so I started doing more research about it. There are a couple of other companies in the area that provide these services. And so I talked to some of the owners of those practices and asked kind of how they got started. I sat down one day with one of my colleagues who has a company that does this, and for like 8 hours just sat and listened to her talk about everything I needed to know to get started, you know, how to hire people, how to make sure that my company was set up to incorporate these services into what we're already doing. And so after listening to her and learning from other people, I was like, okay, we're going to do this. Then I hired a consultant to come in who'd worked for another company similar to mine. And she basically built up the entire department. And then after it was built up, she was like, okay, you know, now I'm going to pass the torch on to you. And so I hired another person to come in and basically take over. And so now we have someone who is fully dedicated to that department. And we've grown to, I think right now we have about 60 providers who go into homes to do these services. And so, I just felt like, you know, if our branding is supporting parents and empowering all kids, like we need to provide that full range of support.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Oh my gosh. Ebony. Okay. Well, so this is like the perfect segue that I was not planning on. So thank you for laying this up. But I love what you just said about you know, called up different owners and just asked them questions. And I think you're someone that's so good at just reaching out and connecting with people. Mm-hmm. And you're just not afraid to ask people, you know, how did you get started with this? Or how did you get started with that? And I think one thing that people think, or people have a misconception about, is like how willing other business owners are to really share what they've been through. And I think that's something you and I have connected on, and you know, a lot mm-hmm. of our mutual friends, and, you know, now you guys are creating an entire conference around this, which I'm so excited. I'm honored to be a part of, because I think it's going to be great. And it's just going to be an opportunity to learn from other business owners in speech pathology, like the ups, downs, the roadblocks, the detours, the everything you're going to encounter, but how it really, I'm excited for the encouragement and the empowerment to just go do the thing, go build the thing that you want to build. And there's a community of people, you know, here to support you. So talk a little bit about the conference.
Yeah. So we are going to be launching the very first live business conference for speech language pathologists. We're also inviting our OT friends, our PT friends, anyone who's interested in therapy and starting their own business. I have been to so many conferences, and I know Teresa, you go to a lot of conferences too. We've connected on that as well. I always wondered, you know, why don't we have anything like this in speech? Like we have our big national conferences, but most of the time it's, you know, mainly clinical stuff. There is a small amount of education and information about around business, but generally speaking, a lot of our conferences are more for the clinical side of things. And so I just, you know, was talking to a friend one day and I said, we should figure out how to make this business conference experience that we've been to, you know, that we've experienced at different events, we should create this for speech therapists. And we kind of talked about it and we were like, yeah, we'll do it one day. And then finally we were like, okay, we're actually going to do this, and hired someone to create a logo, picked a name first. Then once the name was picked, hired someone to create a logo, picked a date put it on the calendar, and here we are 2 months away from this event. We didn't really know, you know, how to plan anything like this, because I've never planned a live conference before. I've done a couple of online conferences, but live is a totally different beast. And we had to get a planner to help us with the planning part of it and the logistics. We have a caterer, we have a DJ. I mean, it's like planning a wedding, basically. And so,
beyond. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you've planned several live events, yes. So you know.
Yes. And every year my team says, we're not doing this next year. We're not doing this again. And then a few months later, people will be like, when's the next one? When's the next one? And I'm like, okay, guys, we're doing it again. Yeah,
exactly. And so, so now we're at that point where, you know, it's happening in a couple of months. We're already starting to think about, are we going to do this next year? Are we crazy enough to do this next year again? Which I'm sure at the end of all of it, it's like having a baby, right? Like you go through all these different stages.
That's exactly what it's like.
The pain and, you know, the discomfort. And then you're like, one day I want to do this again, you know? So I think it's coming along great. It's definitely something that we have been wanting to do for a while. And we have so much support from people like you, Teresa, who jumped at the opportunity to be involved and be a part of it. We have vendors that are going to be sharing, you know, their products and services at the event. We have people who are outside of the speech pathology field who are going to be sharing. I invited a friend of mine who's been in the corporate world and then transitioned out, and then she went back in, just to kind of talk about, you know, how to bet on yourself, whether you're in a corporate or working for someone else environment, or whether you're working for yourself, because it's different, right? It's different in each environment. And now there's this whole concept of intrapreneurs, which we'll talk about at the conference as well. But this is just an opportunity for people to have a community of like-minded people to support them, to network with, and to collaborate with. A lot of my collaborations and projects and things that I've worked on have been with other people. And usually those people are people that I've met at conferences or at different events that I've attended. So I want to create that opportunity for other people. I want people to leave this conference with the opportunity to maybe work with someone in the future on a big project that they've been wanting to work on, or collaborate, you know, outside of the conference to maybe create something that they've been wanting to create. A lot of the resources that we need, they're out there, but we just need to find them. So going to conferences has always been a game changer for me in business. And I want to bring the same thing to our community.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I love it. I would not be where I am in my career with it, or in anywhere, without all the conferences that I go to. And I go to all sorts of different ones. Like I go to some different business ones. I go to some mindset ones. I go to just like, you know, mental toughness ones. And I think it all really applies to being a business owner, but I just love bringing it back home to SLPs because, you know, like you said, there's just really nothing out there supporting us as becoming business owners or private practitioners. And, you know, even just in my, you know, in my PhD classes, I'm taking healthcare leadership and healthcare delivery courses in my PhD work. And it's so crazy how much, you know, they give us that stuff. They give us, you know, if you want to go into private practice, these are the templates and proposals and things like that you need to learn. And it's like, it's just maddening that, you know, I had to get that at the PhD level, that it isn't even just like mentioned or sprinkled in, you know, earlier, because it is really, truly a mode of service delivery. You know, there's patients that go to the hospital, there's kids that go to the schools, but there's people that go to private practices and people that go to clinics down the street. And I feel like it's just a huge disservice for this service to not be talked about more. So
I recently read somewhere that, you know, your success in business is directly correlated to the access that you have to resources, and your team's success, the people that you hire to work for you, their success is tied to the access that you have to resources. So when we go to these conferences, we're getting access. We're getting access to more people. We're getting access to resources that these people have. And so I see it as kind of an investment, number one, when you decide to go to a conference, because it's not free, but it's an investment in potential things that you can develop in the future in your business. It's an investment in the people that work for you, because whether you realize it or not, you are becoming a better leader by going to these events, learning, networking, putting yourself out there, right? Getting access to their resources, you know, is a game changer. It truly is. We've gotten so many, you know, opportunities that have come from people that I've met at different events that I've been to. I actually haven't even shared this publicly. So this podcast, whoever's listening is going to be the first to know, but I just started a nonprofit, literally just submitted the paperwork today because I went to a conference and was talking to some people and realized that this is something that I need to do because of some of the projects that I'm working on and, you know, how I want to continue to expand the impact that we're making.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You never learn that unless you talk with other people and get to know different experiences. And that's, I was telling somebody this weekend, like, I want to just experience life. Like, I want to just know all the things that are out there and continue to push myself and continue to just provide good things for other people. And I think that's, you know, what it all comes down to is just the more that you can open doors for other people, the more that it fills your own cup too. And exactly what you said, I mean, going to these conferences has just provided so many life-changing ideas and things like that for people that work for me too. So let's switch gears a little bit. So I'd like to talk, I want to dive in a little bit more about your team, Ebony, because I think, you know, I love how you portray, you know, some of the events that you guys do and you have a culture committee, and that is so, 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 so important. And I know it's something that's super, super important to me and my companies too, is that if it doesn't fit with the culture, it just doesn't fit with us. And right. I'd like for you to talk a little bit about, you know, your team and how you foster that and how, why that really has been the catalyst for growth for you.
Definitely. So I, like I said, have a passion for building teams and creating communities. And I see my team as a community. We are a family. I know that's cliche, but we collaborate like any EA sports team or any like winning team. Like that's just who we are. So one of the reasons that I wanted to build such a strong team is because when I remember working for private practices, we were doing home health. The company was a home health based company. And so we were all kind of remote and spread out and just never felt like we were a team, like we weren't collaborating. And so when I start my private practice, want us to feel like a real team. So all of the events that we have, you know, all of the things that I post about on social media are because they're not for me. They're for my team members. They're for them to have that experience of working for a company where there is collaboration. There is, you know, this idea of working together towards something. So when I started taking trips abroad to volunteer, you know, that was something that I had always wanted to do. But then I didn't want to do it by myself. I was like, I want my team to experience this, right? I want them to have experience of going somewhere and volunteering. And maybe this is something they've always wanted to do, but they've never had an opportunity to do it. And so trips that we started doing are for them. The events that we have, those are all for them. I want them to have experience like no other. And a lot of times when you work in home health, you just feel like you're on an island. You don't feel like it's a real job a lot of the times because you make your own schedule, you see your patients, you go home, you know? And so that's not how I wanted people to feel when they worked for me and for my company. And we're not for everyone. People who are used to that model of, oh, do your job, you know, come home and that's it. You know, they don't really thrive in this type of environment because we bombard each other with, you know, life updates. Hey, we have this contest going on. Hey, we're having this event. My team is very active, but they enjoy it. They love it. There's a whole committee dedicated to events that we have throughout the year. So I kind of stepped back and allowed them to take the lead on that because, again, the whole intent behind having a team that's, you know, so focused on collaboration and supporting each other was for them to take the lead on it. It wasn't for me to be the person telling them, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I want them to come up with the things that we're going to do. I want them to be excited about, you know, all of the possibilities of events that we can have. So next month is National Speech Language Pathology Month. They changed it from Better Hearing and Speech Month. And so we are hosting an event and it was just going to be internal, you know, for like our staff. And then we're like, you know what, let's open it up. So it's going to be an open event for our community. And it's things like that, that, you know, I just never got to experience working other places. And I love getting to offer this opportunity to my team. And they love being able to work somewhere where they get to do stuff like this. So, but yeah, I strongly believe in, you know, having a strong culture is what's going to help your business thrive, and putting the right people in the right seats. You know, as a business coach, I often coach people and they're afraid to hire or they're afraid to delegate. And we have to remind ourselves that if you are a transformational leader is someone who leads, not only to lead, but to transform something, to have some sort of transformation. If you're a transformational leader, you cannot do it on your own. You just can't. Like, if your goals are to do something and you can accomplish that by yourself, then that's not transformational leadership, because transformational leadership is going to literally change something from either it didn't exist and you created it, or it was one way and you made it a whole different way. So with me doing these volunteer trips abroad, that's transformational. And there's no way I could have done that by myself. So you have to hire people, you have to delegate to people so that you can have that type of impact in your community and in the lives of others. And not everyone is a transformational leader, which is fine. But the majority of people who want to have this huge impact or, you know, have a big vision, you have to have people to support you to do that. And those people are the people who thrive on, you know, being a part of something, being a part of a mission, being a part of a bigger picture. So don't ever be afraid to invite them to join you on that mission.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing all of that, Ebony. Stuff that's just not talked about as much. And I think, you know, for some reason, there's like this misconception with private practices that, you know, even if you're working for a private practice, you're completely on your own or there's no support or anything like that. And I think some of my dear friends and dear colleagues that have private practices are so intentional about curating this culture that they want. And I think that's something that's so important anywhere you work. You know, if you want to work at a huge hospital network, you know, there's some hospital networks that are crappy and there's some that have amazing cultures. And I think it's just the same with private practices too. You're going to find some that are just all about chasing money and all about chasing productivity. And then you're going to find some that really, truly value their employees, really, truly value their patients, and they're in it for the right reasons. And thank you for sharing all of that, because I think it's just so important to highlight that.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard mentors speak at a conference, and they said that, you know, one of the things that they thought about when they were building their culture is how they would show up, you know, as the leader. And I think that's very important as well. I talked about that the other day on my social media page, and just, you know, how important it is for you to model the behaviors that you want other people to demonstrate. And that's how you build a culture. And one of the things that stood out to me from that talk that I was listening to from my mentor was, you know, they would never ask anyone to do anything they wouldn't do, right? And that, to me, when you think about like other organizations, is the owner willing to do anything that they ask their employees to do? And if so, then that's a solid culture, because they're willing to get in the trenches with you, right? And so that's just what stood out to me from someone who built an amazing company, you know, with tons of employees. Is, you know, are you willing to do whatever it is that you're asking your people to do? And are you leading by example?
Awesome. Any final thoughts, Ebony? I think that's a great place to leave off on. But actually share with the people where they can find you, where they can learn more about the conference. I encourage everybody to follow Ebony on social media, because I think she just posts really inspiring things that a lot of SLPs don't talk about in the business world. And like you said, it's real world stuff, but it's also very inspirational that you can do this. If it's a calling on your heart to go do this and be this provider for these patients, there's so many family members that would be really appreciative of you. So
yeah, for sure. So yeah, you guys can follow me on, I have several social media pages, but my personal page is SLP Biz Queen. And that's the one where you're going to find all the behind the scenes of business. I try to be inspirational, you know, but I also am very much real with my posts, you know. So if I'm having a bad day, I might go on a rant. If I'm having a good day, then I'm going to show you guys, hey, it's Money Monday. We made it rain today, right? So I like to keep it real. I feel like, and I'm sure, you know, everybody knows that Instagram or social media is a highlight reel, right? But yeah, that's my page where you get to see the real side of what it's like to be a private practice owner, what it's like to be a mom, what it's like to be a wife, what it's like to wear all these hats. And so that one is SLP Biz Queen. And then I have my page for my continuing education courses, my mentoring, my coaching. That's the SLP Business Suite. It's at the SLP Business _Suite. And then my private practice, which is at the Speak Center Those are all of our Instagram handles. I'm also available on LinkedIn. You can look me up under Ebony Green. And I've been on lots of podcasts. I can't remember how many it's been at this point, but you can definitely search for my name on Apple Podcasts and a few of those interviews might come up.
Awesome. And share where they can find out more about the conference.
Yes. So the conference is in June of 2024, June 21st and 22nd. And you can find out more information on our Instagram page. We don't have a web address, but we do have an Instagram page. It's at Made for More SLP. And there's a link to the registration page where you can find out about the speakers, the schedule of events, all of the things. So it's at awesome. Made for More SLP on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing, my friend. And yeah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome. I appreciate you taking the time, Teresa. I know you're very busy. So thank you for creating this platform so that we can share our stories and learn from each other. I'm all about community and collaboration. So I'm glad that I got to be a part of it.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
And that's a wrap for this episode. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to download the show notes from this episode, please visit swallowyourpridepodcast.com. There you can also sign up for our email list so that you'll never miss another episode. If you do like what you hear, then please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or share it on social media with your friends and colleagues, because that is what keeps these episodes coming. If you'd like to be a guest, share feedback, or request a topic to be discussed on the show, please email podcast@teresarichard.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week.